Hello, the lesson today is on the topic of building the future society. We're going to be reading chosen excerpts from Baal HaSulam. You're welcome to enter our site, send questions, and find all the study materials that we are reading. Chosen questions will be aired during the lesson. We're going to start with excerpt number 61. The topic is the state of Israel and the role of the nation of Israel, the people of Israel. Baal HaSulam says in the nation, national love is the basis of every nation, 61. It is the must for every nation to be strongly united within, so all individuals within are attached to one another by instinctive love. Moreover, each individual should feel the happiness of the nation is one's own happiness, and the nation's decadence is one's own decadence. One should be willing to give one's all for the nation, whatever needed. Otherwise, their right to exist as a nation in the world is doomed from the start. This does not mean that all the people in the nation without exception must be so. It means that the people of the nation, of that nation, who sense that harmony are the ones who make the nation. And the measure of happiness of the nation and sustainability are measured by their quality. After a sufficient sum of individuals to the existence of the nation has been found, there can be a certain measure of loose limbs which are not connected to the body of the nation in the above-mentioned measure, since the basis is already secured without them.
This means each and every nation, it's actually not about the Israeli nation, even though we possess and carry the method, but each and every nation can be safe and sound only according to the members of it, the amount of members who are properly connected, that it's unified internally. And the less unified it is, the more its disintegration increases. And as we're going to see soon, and we're actually seeing how all nations and societies and cultures are gradually disintegrating. There's no inherent harmony. There's no inherent connection. Because in order to be connected, a system of connection has to be developed. Otherwise, it's impossible to survive. The will to receive increases, grows, and if we can't compensate for it by joining each other, then we can't even maintain what we had before. And the members of nations become increasingly distant. Questions? We don't want to ask about it. Yes.
If to take the quote as is, I'm sorry, but any nation could say that. That the fundamentals of every nation is about the parts that exist in harmony with one another. And that's the foundation of a nation.
Yes.
Any nation, you could say this about the Russians, the French, the Americans could say that.
Okay, yeah.
So how can we explain that this existence can be without the wisdom of Kabbalah, that you can even arrange such an existence?
But we're also seeing that all the nations are disintegrating, but they have a connection, they have a natural connection that binds them. They emerge from a biological connection, genetics, DNA. They come from a common ancestors. There was always some tribe from which a nation has evolved. So there's a certain familial closeness, but not in the people of Israel. There's no natural connection in the nation of Israel because we come from different nations in ancient Babylon. And so there's no connection between us. On the contrary, there is rejection. And when we're suddenly together and nothing actually ties us together, if we're not being pressured from outside like nuts in a sack, then we don't feel any obligation to do something together. I'll just go and make my life somewhere in the world. You understand? There's nothing more than that. I remember a few years ago, where was that park in America?
IAC.
The conference in America, the IAC. Yeah, not AIPAC, the IAC. So there were some Israelis there who were talking about how much they are successful in making efforts to integrate in America in all kinds of positions and places. You know, places like South Texas, all sorts of holes just to disappear. That's really what they were talking about. Just to dissolve. Was good to see it. And they were certain that they're doing everything right and shared their tips for success, what to do in order to assimilate as quickly as possible. So we have a different problem. We don't feel anything towards each other. And in fact, if not for the spiritual root, we'd feel hatred that exists in the other, towards the other nations, because then the corporeal root is active and the differences between each other, and then you discover unfounded hatred that doesn't exist in any other nation. You don't have any such hatred in any other nation. In Israel, yes, because our hatred is a hatred between one, like between one nation and the other. Like nations hate each other, we have that hatred between people. So how can you maintain such a nation without the spiritual bond that can tie them together? And there is no other connection. The country, the army, it's all about threats. So as long as there's threat, and there is such a state, it keeps us together. Without the threat, we would immediately scatter. Instead of our neighbors, I would do the other way around. I would just make peace. Show peace. We don't want anything from you. Please. No pressure. No pressure. We dissolve our army. Do whatever you want. And you'll see, within some time, nothing will be left here. Nothing. That's our nature. Each nation somehow exists in its boundaries. Of course, there's also a general plan that drives integration. Everyone needs to become integrated somewhat. But in our case, within a year or two or three, you would see everyone, you know, packing their bags and going to the airport. All right, understood? No questions about that? Yes.
If I understood it correctly, he says that in every nation there's a number of people that have an inclination towards connection, and they need to do the work, and then it will influence the rest of the nation. If I understood it correctly, he says that in the end, the nation can even exist without them. Meaning there's a certain stage where it reaches a certain state where it can exist without them. What is that state?
Let's read again. I don't understand this question. Please.
The whole excerpt? Okay, we're reading 61. It is a must for every nation to be strongly united within. So all the individuals within it are attached to one another by instinctive love. Moreover, each individual should feel that the happiness of the nation is one's own happiness. And the nation's decadence is one's own decadence. One should be willing to give one's all for the nation whenever needed. Otherwise, their right to exist as a nation in the world is doomed from the start. This does not mean that all the people in the nation without exception must be so. So to mean that the people of the nation who sense that harmony are the ones who make the nation. And
a nucleus within the nation that holds itself and keeps itself, and that's how it's built. That's the Reshimot in it. And that's actually the basis.
And the measure of happiness of the nation and sustainability are measured by their quality. After a sufficient sum of individuals to the existence of the nation has been found, there can be a certain measure of loose limbs which are not connected to the body of the nation in the above-mentioned measure, since the basis is already secured without them.
They are needed as well, yeah. So what's the question? So in every nation there is a strong nucleus, there is the nation itself, and then there's also some loose organs, as he says. All right, good. Yes, what about you?
Thus far, anyone who came from the world into connection with the wisdom of Kabbalah calls himself Israel, and we call them not Israel. They call themselves and define themselves as Israel. And we call them Israel. Who are the nations of the world? Those that we're talking about in this excerpt.
The will to receive within us is also called nations of the world.
Yes, my question is, how can Israel make connection with the nations of the world? Who are these nations of the world? Where are they?
Nations of the world are within you. All of the uncorrected qualities are called nations of the world.
Okay, I'm asking about the world here. Yes.
Wait, without no connection to spirituality?
I am reading an article that says that there are nations of the world. There have to be 70 such nations. There's a nation called Israel that is supposed to explain to them where they are and what they're supposed to do in order to correct this world. There's supposed to be a certain connection between those who call them Israel and those who are from the roots of the nations of the world. Like he says, here there are 70 as such. That's their root. They're not Israel. The question is, until today, I have never met people in the wisdom or along this path that are from the nations of the world that don't have connection with us. So my question is, where is it born and where will this connection be born between those called Israel and those who will call themselves the nations of the world? Where are those nations of the world?
You are confusing two things. Are you talking only on the corporeal level or how we need to address the nations of the world? First, choose your point of reference.
I'm sitting here in the lesson and I want to pass on this wisdom to someone called the nations of the world.
Corporeally or spiritually?
Here in this world.
In corporeality only.
In corporeality.
What for?
That's what's commanded upon me to do. That's called to disseminate.
Let's say, okay, continue.
So my question, who are those nations of the world? Because in this wisdom so far, till today, I haven't met the nations of the world. I only met Israel, those who call themselves Israel, who are in the nations of the world and call themselves Israel. And from here, we also call them Israel. Where is that point of connection between Israel and the nation of Israel of the nations of the world?
Those who want to unite in order to have a good life in this world and a good life in the next world, they're called Israel. Those who don't understand this, not in that, or even resist it, are called nations of the world. It doesn't matter where they are, whether they're part of the people of Israel in the land of Israel, or American Jews, or in any nation in the world, on the planet.
Now, those who want to correct themselves and those who don't want to connect themselves, how do they connect?
They're connected across the planet, whether they want it or not. But the main connection between them can happen through dissemination.
So that's exactly what I'm asking. Where's that point of contact between Israel and the nations of the world?
When Israel goes out to the nations of the world and explains to them that the future of the world lies only in connection and the method for connection lies in Israel. That's it. Again.
If possible, why does he use the first sentence? In the first sentence, he says that instinctive love, he writes there. I thought that love was also always supposed to be above hatred, connection above separation.
No, he's talking about the nations of the world. Go to whatever nation, you'll see how better they understand each other, close to each other, they participate with each other. They have some common emotional foundation. Not just that they live together, like in Manhattan, but they have an emotional common denominator. And, you know, when you in Manhattan, let's say, and you're in the village or you go to the Chinese square, there's a difference, right? It's like you go into a different country. They're disconnected. You have Chinese people living there for some 20 years, barely know English. And others, etc. It's Babylon. So, but inside each society or culture or nation, there's a connection. Say in that Chinese area, they all feel each other, language, mentality, business. It's a city within a city. Why? Where does it come from? From an instinctive connection that exists in that nation. Where does that come from? Because we're all Chinese. What does it mean we're all Chinese? We came from a single place. What does it mean? We once had a family that we all came from. That's it. This is inherent mentality. It's not the clothing they wear. That too, perhaps, but it's how they're brain is organized. It's how they think. It's how they portray reality. They have a certain common inner and outer agreement, consensus. And other nations have a differently. So 70 nations of the world is a basis that exists. Perhaps it's confused and mixed with all of what's happening in modern life, but it's still there. And the differences that exist in nations, even though it's not so obvious on the outside, all of those exist in the nation of Israel. That's why we're all different.
He just wrote that it's like a condition for every nation. I thought that the corrected state that he's describing, according to what we learn, necessitates overcoming and work in two lines, but not like that from above.
Instinctively, they think that way and work that way. If you hear what especially governments are saying around the world, what are they attracting their people towards? Towards coming together and rising above the obstacles of the nation, etc. Sure, but they all understand that. However, here, to begin with, I'm telling you, it's all just say thanks to all those that surround us and threaten us. You should send Hamas, not just give them the, pass them money from Kuwait, the 15 million or whatever it is. You need to pay them. You need to pay them for stinging you all the time. Thanks to them, the state of Israel exists. Next.
Excerpt number 62. It's a shame to admit that one of the most precious merits we have lost during the exile, and the most important of them, is the loss of the awareness of the nationality, meaning that natural feeling that connects and sustains each and every nation. Because the threads of love that connect the nation, which are so natural and primitive in all the nations, have become degenerated and detached from our hearts, and they are gone. Worst of all, even the little we have left of the national love is not instilled in us positively, as it is in all the nations, but rather it exists within us on a negative basis. It is the common suffering that each of us suffers being a member of the nation. This has imprinted within us a national awareness and proximity as with fellow sufferers. This is an external cause. As long as this external cause joined and blended with our national natural awareness, an odd kind of national love emerged and sparked off this jumble, unnatural and incomprehensible. And most important, it is completely unfit for its task. Its measure of warmth suffices only to be an empirical excitement, but without the power and strength with which we can be rebuilt as a nation that carries itself. This is because a union that exists due to an outside cause is not at all a national union.
So what does he say here? That we as brothers in arms can come together only if there's negative pressure on us? And for its time, meaning as long as there are troubles and problems and crises, then everyone is willing to be disciplined, to be connected, to help each other. That's called brothers in arms, that everyone out of the trouble is willing to somehow care for others and bring everyone together, but not otherwise. And that's why he says it is an external factor, not inherently. Internally, we have nothing that binds us unless by the wisdom of Kabbalah, when we develop that connection. And above all the crimes, all the rifts and hatred and resistance, above that we have to develop connection between us called love covers all crimes. And no other nation has this ability. And therefore, in the gap between hatred and love, between these two levels, as love covers all crimes, that's where we attain spirituality. There's hatred and love, and between them, the revelation of the Creator. That's the only way that we can be saved. And this was given to begin with to reach the revelation of the Creator to the created being. Questions? Zvika, no, don't exaggerate. Yes.
When two people of the nations of the world came to Abraham, were naturally repulsed towards one another. Based on what did he connect between them?
On the basis of love between them. That's what he cried out for to begin with. He published this message in ancient Babylon. look at what's happening. You don't understand each other. The confusion of languages, so to speak, the no one understands each other. It was worse than in Sodom, because in Sodom, the rule was no one touches anyone else. In ancient Babylon, everyone could attack each other. Today, if you would see the city of Sodom, you would think it is a city of righteous people. Literally, no one touches anyone else, no one, you know, what's mine is mine, what's yours is yours. That's it. But it's forbidden to intermingle. That's why Sodom has to be destroyed, because it's on the way to stands in the way to connection. But if you compare it to today, think about a person living in his own home, doesn't touch anyone else, are righteous. You'd say it's a righteous.
So did they also try to run away from sufferings or something else?
No, so I'm telling you what happened with Abraham. Abraham had a situation like there is today. Everyone is willing to eat each other up. Worse than today, let's say, if we can say that. No one understands the other. We need to talk about what does it mean to understand the other, to sense the other, to enter the other's world view, what they understand. And I cannot do that. So the other is not right in my eyes. Listen to our politicians. Everyone is in, you know, our parliament is literally Babylon. No one understands the other.
So what's spiritual in the connection that he made between them? They ran away?
Abraham connected between them above the hatred, above the crimes, the resistance. He taught them how to connect in love. Love covers all crimes, meaning he taught them about the two levels, that on one level, like everyone thinks, there's nothing to do. But on the second level, we can build love with respect to the first level, on top of the first level, and that holds. And between them, we discover the Creator. Between plus and minus, we discover the Creator. And then we constantly learn how to move, how to work with the plus and minus, like we talked about yesterday and the day before. That's the method.
Why did they need Abraham in order to add that force?
Because it's not that no one tells you. Look at yourselves, how much you're studying it, and still it's hard to understand what's needed of you.
So why does the Creator choose to be revealed through a person to other people versus themselves each turning to the Creator?
He can't. That follows the pyramid by which the upper structure, the upper world, is built. You'll understand that from the preface to the Wisdom of Kabbalah gradually. All right, that's it. Yeah.
No.
Yes. Give him the mic. Come on, ask quickly.
What was special about Abraham that enabled that? Why specifically him? What was his quality that enabled that no one else had, that it moved through him in such a way?
He had the revelation of the Creator. He had the revelation of the Creator. Why? Because he shattered the idols. He understood the will to receive and how the modern development of it, and then he shattered it, meaning he understood through his attainment that corporeality cannot be maintained by itself. There has to be a spiritual root found in it.
What was special about him that enabled him to reveal it alone?
The root of the soul. The root of his soul.
Before the existence of the nation of the Jews and of Israel, most of them were in Europe. Wasn't there like a connection between them? There was like 7-8 million just in Europe. What happened there? Why wasn't there a unification between them before the nation was declared?
You haven't read or what?
I read. I heard that there were these rabbis and these rabbis, these camps, those camps that didn't connect.
What connection? No one goes into the other's backyard.
See, that's what's not clear to me. You understand?
Sure, of course. A Jew always builds, you know, two synagogues. You go to one and not to the other.
Two people build 10 synagogues, so I understand. But why the Jews in Europe, who had what we call pressure from the outside, didn't manage to connect between them? That's not clear to me. And also in Israel, nothing is happening.
Even in the time of the Holocaust, they couldn't unite. What are you talking
about? Why?
Because that's our nature, that we're in contrast to each other, and there's nothing to do about it. There's nothing to do unless we follow the method of Abraham. And that's the wisdom of Kabbalah. Love covers all crimes, love thy friend as thyself. Where do you see this today? Even in the state of Israel, who practically wants this to somehow be realized? Show me any group, any organization.
The question is different. Bnei Baruch. The question, was there ever a connection between Jews or not?
Yes, for a short period.
When?
I'll tell you. From the time of Abraham, basically, until the beginning of the ruin of the first temple. But ultimately, there was Rabbi Akiva who cried that we have to yell, that we have to overcome unfounded hatred. It's a relatively short period of time and with a lot of conflicts and wars between there, of course. We will succeed.
Announcements. The afternoon lesson, you're invited to watch us today at 1:30 p.m. Live lesson with Rav Leitman on Tzvi Ratova. If we can keep the quiet for a moment, I have a few announcements. Thank you. Practical Kabbalah. Very happy to tell you about Kabbalah in simple words. Now we have practical Kabbalah that is going to be engaged with our daily lives, and we're going to watch a little intro. Hello to everyone, and thank you for joining the second course, Practical Kabbalah. In our first course, we talked about what the Kabbalah is and who it's meant for. In this course, we will talk about how we implement it in our daily lives. Practical Kabbalah, with Dave Sluk. Thank you to our TV viewers and good day. The Fundamentals to the Wisdom of Kabbalah. Our campuses are happy to invite you to acquaintance meetings towards the opening of the fundamental courses in Kabbalah on Tuesday, the 25th of June in Carmel. Entrance is 30 shekel with RSVPing. Details and registration on the phone 1-700-509-209 or on our site kab.co.il. And now we will sing.
this is what their life should be. Learning to unite, living in the light, win this fight, and everything's gonna be alright. Learning to unite, learning to unite, living in the light, win this fight, and everything's gonna be alright. Learning to unite. There's only now, only this moment, when we are together,
together as one.